You're listening to the Slavic Literature Pod, your shelf help guide to all things Slavic.
I'm Cameron Lalana.
And I'm Matt Garasimovich.
And today we're covering part two, chapter 22 of Vasily Grossman's Life and Fate, talking about our good friend Klimov, the scout from House 6/1. As well as Polyakov, the old man who is always there being a little obstinate, as Grekov dispatches the two to go see how Seryozha is doing with the underlying idea. Yeah, wink, wink.
Wink, wink.
wink, wink. How is Seryozha? And wink, wink, Katya. Basically, as soon as they set out, the Germans attack, leading to just horrible bombardment. There's dust in the air. Klimov and Polyakov can't see anything, and they get down on the ground to avoid shrapnel, and Klimov reaches out and grabs Polyakov's hand until the dust clears up, and he realizes he's not holding Polyakov's hand, but is instead holding the hand of a German soldier who is just as shocked to see whose hand he is holding. And
Polyakov scratches off-screen.
Yeah, right. Then, you know, we have our All Quiet on the Western Front, maybe wondering how I got here kind of moment.
Mm-hmm.
And then they all, without really saying anything, look each other in the eyes and decide, yep, no officers are looking. I'm going to go my way. You go your way. And trot back to their lines, at which point, unfortunately for Polyakov and Klimov, they realize there's nowhere left for them to go because House 6/1 is not even there anymore. And thus, as the text tells us, begins one of the hardest days for the Red Army at Stalingrad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is a great chapter for so many reasons. I mean, I love the motivation of the characters in this chapter. It really it just so encapsulates what it is probably like. You're just trying to go about your daily stuff, trying to go back and see your friends and just get caught up on the drama and the gossip of your commander and his secret crush and all this stuff, and then you accidentally get caught in the middle of monumental events, not as a result of anything other than just coincidence. And then I thought the descriptions of what it was like to be caught in the middle of the bombardment, I thought were so great. I love this line: time no longer flowed evenly. It had gone insane, tearing forward like a shockwave, then suddenly congealing, turning back on itself like the horns of a ram. I just thought that was such a great line.
Yeah, right.
I've never been bombarded, fortunately, but I can only imagine that, it must feel as if you're out of time and space completely. Especially this, which sounded like a never-ending bombardment.
Yeah. This chapter really shines it just in terms of its prose, like that moment, one of the best. Later on, when Klimov realizes that he's holding the hand of a German, Grossman writes, "They looked at one another in silence, two inhabitants of the war, the perfect, faultless, automatic reflex they both possessed, the instinct to kill, failed to function," which is the line that you noted in your write up today. And just, I mean, that,
yeah,
just such beautiful writing on both fronts here.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a good one. No, mm-hmm. Just this brief moment that they have of a shared humanity of just being overwhelmed by fear and by just, I would imagine, not wanting to be where they are, yet there is nowhere else for them to go. It was so powerful, I thought. And just to really be able to see each other as that, as not combatants, but just people. And it's a lot harder to kill someone when you see them like that.
Right. Yeah.
As opposed to German or Russian or whatever.
Right. I do think I kind of joked. I don't know if Grossman ever read All Quiet on the Western Front, but I do think it's interesting to kind of see these two different kind of worldviews being reflected in what is essentially the same moment, right? In All Quiet on the Western Front, Paul, the German soldier, winds up in a foxhole with a French soldier. And when they look at each other, they like don't kill each other because they recognize they're kind of, the fact that they were brothers, I think, is the language of the text, across these national lines. And here, that's not what they're really noticing each other. They still notice, they don't identify with each other. They just can't kill each other. And, when they look in each other's eyes, this is the narrator writes, Life was terrible. It was as though they could understand, as though they could read in one another's eyes, the power which had ground them into the mud would continue, even after the war, to oppress both conquered and conquerors. And I think that's really interesting here. This kind of, I mean, this reflection of, because this is kind of one of those lines that you can only, well, for Grossman meaningfully write in hindsight, but like, what's really connecting them here is the power of, I don't want to say warfare itself, military technology, somewhere in that realm, which, you know, even in the years to come, will still, all nations involved will still be continued under these, under those conditions. Not that these characters will know at the time, although perhaps Grossman might be thinking as he's writing this, you know, we got, of course, going up to nuclear, the threat of nuclear warfare hanging over the world. And just that difference in perspective and in what this kind of shared moment of we're not really enemies in a sense reflects in this novel, just really interesting.
Yeah, I took it more like metaphorically, not on the front of war, but on the more ideological front, because just before that line there's this other one that says that Klimov and the German looked at one another, each had been crushed by the same terrible force, and each was equally helpless to struggle against it. And which is a kind of similar line, but it to me at first I was thinking, oh well, they're, because they're hiding from the bombs, but no, I think in the way that it's nestled in that paragraph, that is one way you can read it, but I also think that there is like that realization that the, even though they're like you said, they're kind of ground into the mud, it is a moment of them maybe stepping out of that mud and seeing that complexity that exists. And I don't know, it was really good. I really liked those couple of paragraphs.
Yeah, no, that is a good, great point to bring in. I don't know if I have anything to add. I agree.
I don't know how to explain it exactly other than this, like the mental dialogue, like you kind of pointed out, is kind of different than you would think. It's not that, I guess it's maybe not that he sees the German, he recognizes something, you know, shared or similar, but it's just this, I don't know. So he says in that same paragraph, Klimov had no fear of Germans. He had an unshakable confidence in his own strength, his own miraculous ability to pull a trigger, throw a grenade, strike a blow with a knife or a rifle butt a second earlier than his opponent. So I think that what he is clearly like struggling with, it's not the, I don't know how to explain what I'm trying to say. I'm losing my train of thought on it, but yeah, I'm all over the place. I'm all over the place.
No, I get it. This chapter, it hits a lot of angles. I think there are a number of other legitimate ways to read it, but
yeah, and I think it's telling that it's this moment that they're alone, there's no superiors, and that force that's there is grinding them down, that they're helpless to struggle against. You know, if for a moment it's not acting on them. And so you have that moment of some clarity, where here it's not that Klimov couldn't kill a German, it's that in that moment he doesn't see him as a German. He just sees him as such, just person. Doesn't have to be any like romanticized shared humanity, anything like that, but he just sees person. And I think that's enough. That's what I'm trying to get at.
I think that's well said. I like it.
Not my best, but not my worst.
Well, there's 100, there's going to be 180 of these. Not all of them are going to be bangers, but yeah, this is a banger chapter.
It is a really good chapter. I really enjoyed kind of parts of reading this one.
Yeah, well, unless there's anything else we want to go over, I think maybe this is a good place to leave it.
No, it sounds good to me. And in that case, you will hear from us again soon.